딴양에 가서 그 사천년링기 저 풍부 굴지 찍네 얘네 가다 지금 용배 샹왕도 줄대고 따디 그 지금 양에 남다 그 동해 이런 신입에 이르산에 대자와 얘네 나도 몽바디 가시고 그게 유진 내루 이네 다음에 통일을 사네 그 내루를 치러도 집어디 나도 로디 나도 집어디 내루를 치러도 집어 로이 뭐 시속으로 와 되고 로시 뭐 시인도 사네 다 정수기 이네 그 로디 숙성주 총도 자식이 대단해 이네 냥하는 대로 고만 토토리 뒤 탐토나 이네 동맥이 싸워디 땀도 싸워 이네 사네 이네 땀도 시워리
So we were speaking about the four seals of Buddhism or the four axioms of Buddhism. And the final one is Nirvana is true peace. And here Nirvana is the transcendence of sorrow. And it refers to a state where one is totally free from a conditioned existence. Existence conditioned by means of the fundamental ignorance. We spoke about how our existence is characterized by ignorance and how our existence is subject or in the nature of suffering. And the meaning of transcending sorrow here refers to our nature of existence conditioned by afflictions and fundamental ignorance. Because so long as we remain under such conditions, we are under the power of this distorted state of mind, at the root of which is a mistaken belief in self-existence or selfhood of one's own being. So by cultivating the wisdom that sees the non-existence of selfhood, by cultivating the wisdom of no self, one will be able to recognize this grasping at selfhood is a mistaken state of mind, and in this way, gradually one will be able to kind of, you know, as a result of enhancing this wisdom of no-self, one will be naturally able to gradually undermine the force of this grasping at selfhood and in this way remove it ultimately from one's mind. And that state where one is totally free of such afflictions and the fundamental ignorance is really the lasting state of happiness and peace. Therefore, in the fourth axiom, there's the statement that Nirvana is true peace. And true peace here referring to the lasting peace and tranquility.
That day and got the share rock as well. Theoretical soul with that. 테리들이 시작하다 그래서 이제 미라고 사례들도 동요 좀좀 보시다가 양들로 씹었어. 딱 뒤에서 그 양념수 장이 보이나? 딱 시제도 다들이 보이나? 딱 뒤에 있는 것도 그랬다. 양념 차원에서 나 뒤집 미달에 동해 동해는 이제 다음에 송 쓰다 뒤. 딱 내일이야 저기 유지유시. 계시 직비더니 이 당연하라 즉 인텔렉츄얼 소울이다 인텔렉츄얼도 삼당 이 그런 게 왜 두루와 계시 뷰했더니 뭐지 통두루와 계시 지가인 뭐지 신두루와 나 이 신인데 자네 다 주의 샤왕신 뭐 신두루와 다 지 주시를 쳐 뷰했더니 이제 대탐절로 유이샹왕진바치 사진이 인도산에다 진지지다 샹왕체 야마 머리벌 집에 있나 대원대야 아니 대외주 두미시 동해 민드나야 동해기 두 미시바 시장 아니 가서다 냠바 랑쇼를 시제 그래 샹왕도 그래야 진짜 또 통일도 산에 아니 지금 쓰면 또 순환을 해야 할 수가 아, 단지 문에다 나스네베 짜지고 찌대서 되기 시댄서도 풍부들이 풍부디다 머리베 샹완자리 용어베 샹완자리 삼부지 타이면도 아니 지금 민두별로 해야지 전쟁이 용어베 샹완자리 미두그 풍부디 다 마찬가 다 기부시다 민두가 삼부지로 샤트야 시도가 단지 아니 교디다 샤트야 여름에 이제 자식 쇼가 쇼요리 이제 윤디 최선의 동시에 담아봐 자기 계시되기 아 다도 진데 진버디 쇼 잡으시다리 왕 잡으시다리 레디이네 그 치료도 진데 러이버시 쉐이도 자네 저는 잡진 사람이 누구 사람이 러이 사람이 좋아 그래서 딜레인도 자네 동네 잘 퇴야지 년龄이 풍분디 잘 퇴야지 그렇지 그 레이가시도와 这里面有一个人，他是，其实没得来，东面，东面人的大面松是咋的？他，可是我这个，鸟人的瀑布的土面人心，那没得过人心，就是呢，植物人的，大块人的，大面都上不到的下水啊，当然那些个，东面的是。 나가다 동해지르신 레닌이 샹왕젠 그 풍부디 더그 송도롱어 레민도 삼바시 더그 송도롱어 레민도 산데 야 지게 절은 돈죽을로 내야지 용서를 봐 사드디인데 디심이다 레동에 동해레네 다미송 쓰다지 이제 과도 와 사다 디인데부디 타르바 다 년린이 풍부 아니 Nyawal wa kumbu tu durji ki lanyun ti sabaj chungna, nyambu jiega toge sabaj chungna, tando tawari sabaj chigi, losi le yudu taba tanyu lo ligduwa. Taba tanyu lo ngamasi ligduwa. What's the imbre?
So, in a sense, what we find here in the teachings of the four seals or four axioms is the theoretical basis of the Buddhist understanding of the path to liberation. So now the question is, how do we incorporate or integrate this knowledge, the theoretical knowledge of the four axioms into our actual practice of embarking upon the path to enlightenment? So here, there is a natural sequence to how the understanding of one can lead to the understanding of the other. And therefore, in a text we read, because it is transient, it is in the nature of suffering, and the realization of suffering will lead then to the understanding of the absence of selfhood. So what this suggests is that if we reflect deeply upon the nature of our own existence, and particularly our own physical and mental elements, such as our body, mind and so on, these faculties, all of which are really the object of our own cherishment. So when we think of ourselves, when we have the instinctive thought of I'm doing this, I am, this the object of our and this sense of selfhood really is the physical and psychological elements that make up our existence. So if you observe deeply the nature of these physical and mental qualities that make up your existence, then it becomes fairly evident that none of them are permanent. They are all transient. They are all subject to fluctuations, changes, and so on. So the realization of their transient natures, particularly in terms of their moment-by-moment existence, can at least something that we can develop, understand intellectually. So once you gain an intellectual understanding of the momentary nature, the subtle impermanence of your body and mind, then this knowledge, the intellectual knowledge, can then be through constant cultivation, can be internalized. And this recognition, this understanding of the transient nature of one's own existence, can then lead to the understanding of their suffering nature. Because once we realize that our body and mind and our own existence is momentarily changing, it is subject to this moment-by-moment transience, that they are impermanent, then we also come to realize that they are products of causes and conditions. And once we realize that they are products of causes and conditions, then we immediately come to recognize that they are under the power of their causal conditions. And this is in general for all conditioned things, and in particular in the case of our own existence. Our own existence is characterized by unenlightenment, and this unenlightened existence is really conditioned by afflictions and karma. It's the karma and the afflictions that has given rise to our unenlightened existence, and at the root of which is the fundamental ignorance of grasping at a self-existence of our own self. So once you recognize that, you come to realize that your existence is under the power of karma and afflictions. And then when we think about the nature of the afflictions, the mental and emotional afflictions, even the very term affliction, the Sanskrit word is klesha, the Tibetan word is nyommong, even in the very etymology of the term nyommong, and there is an immediate connotation of something that afflicts us from within, something that creates deep disturbance, something that inflicts suffering within ourselves the moment they arise. So any form of existence that is under the domination of these afflictive states of mind are bound to be in the nature of suffering. So once you recognize that, then you will also come to realize that on the one hand, in our normal conceptions of selfhood, we tend to grasp onto some kind of self as eternal, unitary and unchanging. But once you recognize that your body and mind are in constant flux, then you will come to realize that this belief in the self as unchanging, eternal, permanent entity is also misguided. And in this way, you will also gradually come to develop the insight into the no-self, anatman, no-self, absence of selfhood. So you will also come to recognize that this self that we tend to grasp at is not in fact worthy of grasping, because the grasping leads to all forms of afflictions and suffering and so on. So in this way, the recognition, the realization of impermanence lead to the realization of the suffering nature, and the realization of suffering nature culminates in the realization of no self. And it is this insight into no self which eventually will help us gradually overcome the afflictions, and the state where one has totally eliminated such graspings and their effects, that is the true lasting peace, which in the Buddhist language is described as liberation or moksha. And once you have that kind of recognition of the possibility of attaining such cessation of afflictions and the possibility of attaining liberation, then the genuine aspiration to attain liberation really arises in one's mind. So in fact, when we speak of Buddha Dharma, the Dharma of Buddhism, here I think the true definition of Buddha Dharma really must be related to the quest for seeking liberation from cyclic existence. So any form of spirituality that is grounded upon and inspired by the aspiration to seek liberation, that is a Buddha Dharma.
For example,
many of the basic ethical practices such as avoidance from the 10 negative actions. And that ethical practice alone cannot be characterized as specifically Buddhist path because it is common to all religious traditions. And also, I mean, for the same reason, deliberately abandoning the act of killing out of fear for legal consequences, that cannot be characterized even as a religious practice. On the other hand, if someone deliberately takes a vow not to kill on the basis of fear that as a consequence, karmic consequence, one might be reborn in the lower realms of existence, and then deliberately adopts an ethical stance, that is a common ethical practice to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist religious traditions. However, if one's practice of an ethical discipline, such as deliberate avowal of abandoning the act of killing, motivated by or grounded upon the aspiration to attain liberation as defined earlier, liberation as total freedom from mental afflictions, ignorance, and so on, then that kind of ethical practice could be described as a truly Buddhist ethical practice. So, for example, generally, when we speak of taking refuge in the three jewels, we speak of the Dharma jewel. And Dharma jewel in the context of the three jewels is really defined in terms of the cessation of afflictions. So within the three objects of refuge, the three jewels, Dharma jewel is the most important one. So the most important of the So of the three objects of refuge, the three jewels, the Dharma jewel is the most important one. However, in the actual sequence of going for refuge, we say we go for refuge to the Buddha first, and then Dharma second, and the Sangha, the spiritual community, third. This reflects the chronological order in which they come into being in the context of a specific historical Buddha. So, for example, in the case of Buddha Shakyamuni, he came to the world and then gave the teachings which constituted the scriptural Dharma, and on the basis of the practice of these teachings, realizations took place in the mind of the disciples. So together, the scripture and the realizations constitute the true Dharma, the Dharma jewel. And these individuals who have gained direct realization of the truth of the Dharma, they become Sanghas, the Arya Sanghas, the noble members of the Sangha. So in this way, there is a chronological order. But even in the case of Buddha himself, in order for the Buddha to become fully enlightened, it was necessary for the Buddha to have internalized the knowledge of the Dharma. So, you know, and to reflect the importance, the same goes for the noble members of the Sangha, the Arya members as well. It is the embodiment of these Dharma knowledge which makes them Arya beings, the noble beings. Therefore, to indicate the importance of the Dharma jewel, it is said that even the Buddha, in the scriptures, it is stated that when the Buddha was giving teaching, he would arrange the seat upon which he would sit down to give the Dharma, and to indicate his respect and reverence to the Dharma, he arranged his own cushion and the seat upon which he would sit when giving Dharma teaching. So now to go back to the text, we were talking about the distinctions between differences between the non-Buddhist philosophical schools on the one hand and the Buddhist philosophical schools on the other, and how the demarcation was made on the basis of whether or not one adheres to the four seals or four axioms of Buddhism, among which the most important one is the notion of no self, and the denial or rejection of a belief in an eternal independent self. So, and this is in a sense becomes the mark, the characteristic mark of Buddhism, which is the rejection of any notion of independent self-existence, independent, eternal, unchanging self. So historically, if you look at the many philosophical schools in ancient India, they were, the demarcating line between the Buddhist and non-Buddhist really converges on the position on the question of self-existence, selfhood. On the one side are Buddhists who, on the whole, reject any notion of eternal, unchanging, independent self, and non-Buddhist schools, on the whole, believe in one form or another, a version of self-existence or Atman, which is eternal, unchanging, and unitary. Other than that, within the non-Buddhist schools, there are theistic schools and there are non-theistics. There are also some who believe in rebirth, some who do not, and so on. So the distinction really is made on the basis of the position on the question of self. And also within the non-Buddhists, there are some who accept the notion of idea of liberation, or moksha, some who reject the idea and possibility of liberation and moksha. So it's really on the question of the nature of self and existence of self that the demarcation is drawn between Buddhist and non-Buddhist schools.
군도 딱 봐야 다 딱 봐야 시. 이해봤다 와 대. 아니 못 이고 삼십 두 모든 채. 다 대시한데 낭세기 될라야 두매라 저부역을 따왔함. 수산의 폐지 장반 봐. 그 경험 없이 민중의 집이 있나? 예, 경험 없이 내대가. 세상아, 그다 주밀이 집을 들어봤다고. 주메라스, 제부 예벌 다 수전에다, 제부 신디, 다 풍부로 왕층에게 다 덕지상어 지여대로 다오면 좋아. 주메라, 제부 예벌 다오 직체. 균제 로버 다왔을 때, 아니, 그는 장시만 주고, 지도 딱바 인부, 인부지기. 아니, 딱바에 깨버지. 양은 지금 꺼버버, 그나, 가서 그래. 양안이, 그, 두디, 땡두어 인두산에, 그, 딱바신, 땡두어 인두산에, 그, 땡두 대댕에, 유업에 가신 대댕에, 인두산에, 양은 뒤, 제부, 남토양 미지바. 양은 따도 깨끗이, 레디, 이네, 귤, 제부라, 유어나토양, 유대바띠, 띠, 지식이, 딱 두, 유업에 대바지, 용식 말이지. 사진에 인두산에, 균제를 놔버렸다고 하셨어. 다양, 그 유업하라, 제부 매번 따왔던 사람이 제배 나를 야채나 두 남한 들어오는게 다 딱과 가지고 그게 양가로와 떡지랑 든지직대 다대 깨방 대 낭배 풍부디 두매런신 아니 교회런신 믿음바 미다버랑신. 지전에, 가서 우리 규 딱과도 충배, 제부 딱과만 임바. 제부, 규제다 미숭구치기, 제부 대도부 따와, 사실. 규 예발라, 제부 매발 따와. 규 예발라, 제부 규제랑신도 매발 따와, 사실.
So here in the text we read, this is on page 33, the extremists uphold the existence of an eternal self, for they reify all phenomena through conceptual imputation. So the reference to conceptual imputation here suggests that it's a reasoned philosophical standpoint, a postulate. So it's not just a kind of an innate a natural conception of selfhood we are talking about here. We are talking about a reasoned philosophical standpoint where on the basis of philosophical analysis and reflection, one adheres to a standpoint that upholds a belief in an eternal independent self-existence, a selfhood. So this is common to all non-Buddhist schools. And then within that group of non-Buddhists who uphold the eternal self, doctrine, then there are differences. So we read in the text the extremists comprise of those who view the presence of effects where there is no cause. So this refers to the Indian school Charvaka, who rejects the notion of rebirth and so on. So although they believe in the existence of an eternal, enduring, unchanging self, but because they do not espouse the doctrine of rebirth, reincarnation. So, in a sense, they accept the cause, but they do not accept the. They accept the effect, the effect which is the existence of self, but they reject the notion of rebirth, which is the cause. And then the next one reads: those who view cause and effects erroneously. And that refers to schools such as Samkhya school, which understand the origin of the cosmos in terms of what is called a primal substance, a prakrit, which is, again, permanent, unchanging, and so on. And this also refers to the Indian theist schools which believe in unchanging eternal first cause, self causation or naturally arising cause. And so here the problem from the Buddhist point of view is that if the cause is characterized as eternal and unchanging, then how can you account for the origin of the world of effects, all of which very evidently reflect the quality of changing and fluctuation and transience? So how can one account for the origination of these effects from a cause that is unchanging and eternal? So this is, and then the third subdivision we read, those who view, and those who view the absence of effects where there is a cause. So this refers to another category of non-Buddhist schools who, while accepting the self to be eternal, unchanging and permanent, and they accept the basis of the selfhood, which is the body and mind, to be transient, fluctuating and so on. So what is being pointed out here is that there is a kind of a contradiction between the characteristics of the cause on the one hand and the characteristics of the effects on the other. Author then, having described the various forms of non-Buddhist beliefs and philosophical views, then sums up with the sentence that all of these are views of ignorance. So, as a summary to all of this discussion, we find in something similar in Tsongkhapa's praise to Buddha Shakyamuni, where he states the following. He says, referring to the Buddha, that the truth that you have revealed on the basis of your own personal insight, which is the truth of no self and emptiness of inherent existence, and those who follow after your teachings and example and in the understanding of these truths, then for these individuals, gradually they will be further and further away from all sources of downfall. However, those who are contrary to the path that you have revealed, even though one they may resort to all sorts of hardships, including ascetic practices such as physical penances and so on, they will continue to proliferate the basis for afflictions. That's because they are continuing to reinforce their clinging to the notion of selfhood. So the idea here is that in addition to the innate grasping at selfhood that we all naturally possess, sometimes as a result of philosophical analysis, one may also reinforce them and kind of solidify them through a process of philosophical reasoning, in which case, in addition to the innate grasping at selfhood, one will also have strong, powerful grasping of philosophically acquired form. So here the distinction between the Buddhist and the non-Buddhist is really made on the basis of whether or not one affirms the object of grasping of selfhood or whether one rejects and denies the object of grasping of selfhood. So here Jamyang Shepa has summed up in his root text on the Indian philosophies, where he says that it is on the basis of whether one is affirming or rejecting the object of grasping out of selfhood, the distinction between the Buddhist and the non-Buddhist schools is made. Then the question can be raised, why is there such proliferation of so many philosophical standpoints, so many philosophical schools, including various forms of Buddhist philosophy? So here, as a form of a response to this possible question, we find a statement in the Langa Avatara scripture, Langa Avatara Sutra, a reference to many different forms of vehicles, spiritual vehicles. It refers to the vehicles of the celestial beings, it refers to the vehicles of the humans and so on. And the point being made in the Langa Avatara Sutra is that so long as sentient beings exist, there will be a multiplicity and diversity of spiritual inclinations, mental dispositions, and so on.
From the Buddhist point of view, if we observe
the diversity of world's major religious traditions that we observe today in the world, all of them emphasize the practice of ethical discipline, ethical living. All of them emphasize the importance of cultivating love, compassion, and the practice of warm-heartedness aimed at creation of a better human being, a kinder and more compassionate human being. And all of these, so ethical practice is really at the heart of all of these spiritual teachings. And also many of these religious traditions also have a spiritual practice that is aimed at a kind of a higher level of attainment, such as being reborn in heaven, or you know, some form of that, a kind of a deeper spiritual attainment. So from the Buddhist point of view, these multiplicity of faith traditions, the religious traditions, can be seen as what is referred to in the scriptures as the vehicles for the humans and the divine beings. Then in ancient India, there were also non-Buddhist spiritual traditions where, in addition to ethical practice and ethical discipline, there were also highly developed and refined meditation techniques, all of which are aimed at cultivation of a single-pointed, deep, sort of a heightened states of mind, many of which are described as form and formless states. So many of these meditative practices that emphasize the cultivation of single-pointedness of mind, that is shamatha, tranquil abiding or calm abiding, and also a special insight or penetrative insight, vipassana, by reflecting deeply upon the defects of existence in the desire realm, and then transcending the level of senses and moving beyond states of what I refer to as form and formless states. These forms of practices and the religious system that enshrines them from the Buddhist point of view, from this scripture point of Langa Avatara's point of view, would be understood as what is meant by the vehicles of the Brahma. Then there are other paths, such as the path that are primarily aimed at attainment of liberation from cyclic existence and elimination of the fundamental ignorance of grasping at selfhood, and so on. So these paths, which are described in the scriptures as a path transcending the world, these paths again will have other divisions. For example, there is the path of the Shravaka vehicle, which is the disciples' vehicle, and there is the Pratyaka Buddha path, which is the self-realized ones, and then there is the Bodhisattva path, and these as described in the text here.
So,
as Langa Avatara Sutra states that so long as diversity of human thoughts remain, there will be diversity of spiritual paths.
that will be appropriate for the individual human beings. So, what this suggests is a recognition at a profound level that given the diversity of mental dispositions, spiritual inclinations, and interest of sentient beings, there is a need for the diversity of spiritual paths. So in relation or correspondence to the diversity of mental disposition, spiritual inclinations, and interest of the sentient beings, they will evolve paths that are appropriated and suited to these different mental dispositions and the needs and the spiritual inclinations of the sentient beings. So if that is the case, if that is a fact, then there is simply no basis to argue or make the claim in one way or another that this is the best path and that is the worst path. Because the evaluation of the validity of the path really has to be done on the basis of whether or not a particular path is beneficial and suited for a given individual. So simply because from a certain point of view, certain philosophical or tradition or a viewpoint or a certain path may be described as higher, does not mean that that is the best. Because depending upon the need of the individual, there will be a specific path that will be best to that individual. So once, as a Buddhist, once one comes to recognize that kind of understanding, then one will immediately appreciate the need for the importance of greater spiritual interreligious understanding and interreligious harmony.
그게 양 럽지디 숙체 좀 해야지. 너도 와. 자, 진짜 인도 떠주다 두두 럽지 니체. 다 두두 럽지디 샤인도 추루 삼으로 서브도 무슨 샤트야 말해. 소소 카드 먹어 찍어부터 하네. 다 강한 렘버디 강사 때는 서슈지 차려. 다 떠주고 서류 잡아 있나? 해지야 서류 샤트 그래. 남배 떠주지 다 패셔 써버려. 남과랑 나는 차샤네 우물에 떠주고 서슈지. 지람에 떠줄래, 너집에 떠줄, 너집에 떠줄래, 쌤쌤에 떠줄, 쌤쌤에 떠줄, 쌤쌤에 나를 이내, 남대에 떠줄래, 남집에 떠줄, 사버래, 링어리지. 다, 되네, 우모바. 우모바 나를 이내, 타녀도 랑세, 시행들래, 타녀도 랑세, 미싱에디, 다 사와. 좌대도 와. 떠줄면은 사와, 다시 시작도 그래.
So, even in the context of Buddhism, we speak of four Buddhist philosophical schools, Vaibhashika, Sotrantika, Chittamatra, the mind only, and middle way, Madhyamaka. And also we speak of the three vehicles, or the two vehicles, lesser vehicle and the great vehicle, and so on, all of which are attributed to the single teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni. So what we have here is a situation where if we were to ask, what is exactly the Buddha's own final standpoint? Why did Buddha teach such diversity and sometimes quite opposing, contradictory teachings in his scriptures? So the Buddha's own, you know, final standpoint may, from the point of view of Madhyamaka, be that of the middle way philosophy, but it is also a fact that Buddha did teach the teaching, the philosophy of the Vaibhashika school, Sotrantika school, and the mind-only school, and also Buddha taught the teachings and practices of the lesser vehicle and so on. So what we see here, even in the Buddhist context, is a recognition of how the Buddha's teaching of the Dharma is really has to be understood in the context of its appropriateness to the given audience. So in a sense, Buddha is not a case of an enlightened being who only wants to reveal one truth to everybody. It is a case of a Buddha having to, having to select what is most beneficial and what is most effective and what is most suitable in a given context and a given situation. So what we understand here is that the profundity and the value and validity of a teaching has really to be based on the evaluation of how beneficial it is. If it is beneficial to the given context, it is profound. If it is not beneficial, even though it may be a very profound teaching, it has no value. So the validity and the value of a spiritual teaching has to be really judged on the basis of its effectiveness and its benefit to the particular context. So from this point of view, we cannot really say this is more profound teaching than that, because the profundity and validity has to be judged contextually. Similarly, if we we can use that as an example from our own tradition, then to extrapolate from this perspective and then extend it to other religious traditions. So if you look at other religious traditions, generally speaking, we can see two dimensions to any spiritual tradition. There is the ethical teaching dimension, and there is the dimension which can be described as philosophical or metaphysical. Now, in the realm of metaphysics and philosophy, there may be a lot of differences between the religious traditions, but on the level of ethics, on the level of the ethical dimension, and there is a uniformity of message in all the great traditions of the world. All of them carry the same message of love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, and the need for simplicity and contentment and discipline. All of these are common message, ethical teachings of all the religious traditions. So from that perspective, one cannot say, and this is a better religion than that, and that is the best religion, or this is not so, and so on. One cannot simply make any such judgments, because they all carry the same message. And now, on the philosophical side, So what we can see is that in a sense, the philosophy and the metaphysics are the premises or the explanation which culminates in the outcome, which is the core of the religious teaching, which is the ethical teachings. So the ethical teachings are the outcome of the philosophical kind of analysis. So in the realm of philosophy, obviously there are a lot of differences, because the differences lie in how you explain the importance of love, importance of compassion, importance of forgiveness, and so on. How you ground the importance of these ethical practices, and what explanations do you give? What are the reasons you give? There will be differences between different religious traditions. So for example, for some individuals, the approach of the theistic tradition, where a belief in an all-powerful creator, a divine being, is the foundation of your philosophical understanding, and the ethical teachings are grounded upon that fundamental belief, and where you, if you are grounded in that kind of belief, then your whole ethical, you know, the premise for the ethical practice would be to try to live your life according to how you can fulfill the wish or the will of that powerful creator. So for some individuals, that approach, the theistic approach, has a sense of immediacy, a sense of a power and effect. Whereas for some individuals, the explanation of the importance of the ethical teachings on a non-theistic approach would be more suited, where they explain that the importance of love, compassion, and so on really has to do with the importance of understanding one's own individual responsibility, the cause and effect, and so on. So that kind of non-theistic approach, where the emphasis is on understanding oneself as one's own ultimate salvation, that kind of approach will be more effective and it will carry a greater resonance. So therefore, we cannot really say that this particular approach is best and better, because again here, best and better really has to be judged on the basis of individual context. However, in the metaphysical, purely on the metaphysical and philosophical level, one can speak about certain philosophical ideas being more sophisticated, more refined, and more logical than others. That may be possible, but as a tradition as a whole, there is simply no basis for making judgments about some being better and other being worse. So I often give the example of medicine. When we look at medicine, we can make distinctions between different forms of medicine on the basis of how expensive the individual drugs are, because of the ingredients that go into making the particular pill. So, however, when we make the evaluation about what is the best medicine, we cannot really make it on the basis of which one is more expensive, because the value of medicine really lies in its effect of curing the a particular illness. So whatever is the most effective medicine for that particular illness, is from that point of view, that is the best medicine, regardless of whether it may be less expensive than other types of medicine. Of course, from the point of view of the cost, we can talk about some medicine being more valuable in the sense of more expensive as opposed to others. But, you know, in a proper sense, the value of the medicine really has to be judged on the basis of its effectiveness with relation to a specific ailment.
Chasanga mens lo du to di nal phaya de samta de mo ku ju lo samta mar ba rindang samdhan marwa. Te shindu, chöyos lupdu, sem dhugwaya chik samdhan rimado, di philosophical kishita to rimilwa.
So, however, when we try to define medicine, you know, the sort of a defining characteristic of a medicine is that of, I mean, that is in relation to curing an illness. We cannot define medicine in terms of how much it costs. We can only define medicine in terms of its effectiveness in relation to a particular ailment. Similarly, when we speak of spiritual practice or spiritual teaching, we can only define the value of a spiritual teaching in relation to its effectiveness in transforming our emotions and thoughts. So imagine when the Buddha was in India, and of course Buddha taught, you know, Buddha appeared in India in a cultural context of the presence of many other spiritual traditions and spiritual schools that were available there. And within that context, Buddha brought his own message of no self, rejection of belief in an eternal, abiding, enduring self, and so on. However, and of course, in some instances, Buddha has debated with his contemporaries on the virtues and the drawbacks of believing in a notion of selfhood and so on. But however, Buddha has never stated anywhere in his teachings, nor did he expect that the entire people of India turn into Buddhism or turn into Buddhists. He had never even imagined or never even claimed the possibility of or demanded that all the Indian people follow the Buddhist path.
Oh, yeah. Now, that is the basis of, let's say, mutual respect to among the different traditions. And in fact, I think mutual admiration. I'm Buddhist. Sometimes I describe myself as a staunch Buddhist. But so, I disagree some of the views. But I respect, sincerely, because it worked among the humanity in the past and today and future. It immense sort of today, it gives, I think, immense benefit to millions of people. So there's plenty of reason to respect, to admire, to appreciation. So that is the, I think, the proper way to develop, to promote genuine harmony among the spiritual traditions. Yeah. Tāngi nima tīnda, jīdīnli dēvē lāma yā nāpa nīdēs, cēnī yī tēwā tō tōjī tēwā, cēnī yī tēwā lā yā nāpa sūmdē, nyendu yī tēwā tō rāngsā yī tēwā tō shūsīpē tēwā.
So
장면도 무투산이 예봐. 다 치질로가 다완지 뭐 뭐인 거. 마도바랑 이제 대등이 예봐다. 마도 머리고 마도고 머리고 샤완도 예대 봐. 어떻게 저저지 자수 오면 와. 제니 대다하게 리지기 다 겨우는 것이 하나 매번 대대하라고. 전쟁이 꾸르웠다. 양 다도 중점마에 다 풍부를 대신에 다 이어버렸다. 전쟁이 다 좋아도 꾸르에 군도 딱배 예매배 채배다고 하자. 딱 발로 쏘고 이어버렸다. 니스. 다 풍부를 대신에 다 득지랑와. 딱 봐자, 속에 대지고, 직부다, 끈을 켜봐도, 되는데, 아니, 다, 켜버렸잖아. 되는데, 지금 예불 따왔니? 뺐나? 타발로 주도 통화신도, 때는 매버지래. 통화신도 매지래. 풍부함다, 지질로 속에, 뭐래, 땅에라, 풍부함다, 지질로 속에, 용어신부 시, 두 철없잖아. 다? 가서 우리 그게 수제 애니 철없 다 자수 주바 꼭 가다 애니 그게 차제 된주 너나 그게 차제사 네 참이 참이겠다 덴부 두 철없 자수주와 사네, 이니 치중원시, 남산 대바다. 낭, 남바르 시에바니, 전탑으로 여바 다시엔스. 진대기다, 더주 대당, 아니 람 고미운주, 파베 댐바시 관배. 댄실은 죽도, 추신도 죽네, 진대기 람 관배, 림기, 대부, 림기 드부 나바신 드부 인노스다 균수로 소배다 드부식 드부 인노 소인바레
So we now read from the text and so then now the section on the Buddhist path vehicles begin so we read the path that transcends the world two consists of two categories one the dialectical vehicle and two the indestructible vehicle of Vajrayana. The dialectical vehicle in turn is threefold, one, the vehicle of the disciples, two, the vehicle of the self-realized ones, and three, the vehicle of the bodhisattvas. And of these, the vehicle of those who have, of these, the view of those who have entered the vehicle of the disciple is as follows. So here it refers to the lesser vehicle, philosophical views of Saravaka, and their view is explained in the following. They maintain that the nihilistic view, denying everything, and the eternalistic view, asserting the existence of eternal realities, which are postulated by the extremists, and so on, by means of reification and denigration, are as untrue as perceiving a coiled rope as a snake. So here, the nihilistic view refers to the standpoints of such as the unreflective and the materialist and the nihilist who on the whole reject the notion of life after death, pre-existence and so on. And the eternalist view here refers to the belief in eternal enduring self, independent self that we spoke about. And so the disciples' vehicle, those who adhere to that philosophical viewpoint maintains that these kind of postulates which are rejection of rebirth and so on which constitutes denigration and belief in eternal self and so on constitutes a form of reification. These are as untrue as seeing a coiled rope as a snake. And then having explained what they reject, then the author goes on to explain what they actually espouse. Then it reads, in contrast, they view the aggregates, the elements, and the sources.
Chidu, 교전 소지 참에 쌈네 아니 풍금 디젤을 써와 기다 가서 우리 수정 쇼지체 나중에 넘버 세바 기지 참에 쌈네 드리기다 균기 넘버 세바 대니가 전담으로 여봐 다시
So we read that in contrast, they view the aggregates and the elements and the sources as being comprised of the four great elements and as well as the consciousness to be ultimately real. So what this points to is their philosophical understanding of the nature of reality where they see the physical world, material world, as being constituted by indivisible, partless particles which are devoid of special dimensions, and it is through the constitution of these indivisible particles, which through the aggregation of this, they understand the origin of the physical and the material objects, and they understand the origin and the nature of the consciousness in terms of aggregation of points of consciousness or points of mental states which are indivisible temporally. From the point of view of temporal processes. So, and they understand both of these external material objects and internal mental states to be ultimately real. And then we read that, and it is by means of meditating on the Four Noble Truths that in due course the four kinds of fruits or the results are realized. So the followers of the Charvaka vehicle, the disciples' vehicle, and they maintain that it is on the basis of practicing the Four Noble Truths that one will in due course attain the four kinds of results. The four kinds of results refers to the stream enterer, once returner, never returner, and the arhat state.
Then the Rang Sanji Yetabula Shuba Namji Tawani. 송도 방 전도 매방 다들 여기 잡아 지금 송교 아래 다들이 전부 시바 땜줬다 송어 다 가서 우리 그게 다 랑그 둔데 관해 봐야 랑그 둔데 가서 우리 그게 늦은 시세니 송어 땜을 매봐 전부 땜을 따와 따와 전에 내가 삼삼에 따와 뒤에 자리 있어요 대단하다 rang changshu yin zhegu tabia tuna angs ane rang zhugu guana sangye ba akada rang zhugu guana da ngabar changshu ba songne kasa chik chukji ben zhan lukum dhe nyandu dhar gheghe shi nyan me dhe ba ane rang changshu ngandu chewe siva tamen ne gawla ya gheghe shi nyan me dhe ba rang zhugu guana da zhegu ngandu chewe nyandu dhar gheghe shi nyan me dhe ba ngayon kwanbe shukji tenzhen dhe boran zhugu 양아 준이 주관해서 다 땡중을 캐봐서 하는 말이 땡지를 캐봐서 다 어디 땡지 대부분 좀 가서 우리 그게 양아 준이 룩 중도 아니 줄이야 캐버 장네 준이 삼유 전도네 대대보다 송진이 동기 준이 삼유 전도네 사실문화 또네 랑
Next is the explanation of the view of the followers of the Pratyeka Buddha vehicle, which is the self-realized ones. So we read in the text, the view of, this is on page 34, the view of those who have entered the vehicle of the self-realized ones is as follows. With respect to viewing the eternal self and so on, that are postulated by the extremist by means of reification and denigration to being non-existent, they are similar to the disciples. So the point being made here is that with relation to the teaching on no self, anatman, the adherents of the Pratyeka Buddha vehicle and adherents of the disciples' vehicles, they share the same position. So with respect to the doctrine of no self, anatman, the position is the same. Then we read, the difference is that they understand the aggregates of form and one aspect of the reality element to be devoid of self-existence. So this is a reference to the uniqueness of the viewpoint of the Pratyeka Buddhas. And here, the reference to the one element, one part of the reality element, it refers to the understanding of the absence of selfhood to the object as opposed to the subject. So within the world of subject and objects, the adherents of this viewpoint are capable of rejecting the self-existence of the objects, but not of the subjects. They believe in the ultimate reality of the subjective experiences. Differentiating the Saravakas, the disciples, and the self-realized one is similar to the one found in Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alamkara, the ornament of clear realization, where the wisdom of the three vehicles are clearly differentiated. So the wisdom, primary wisdom of the Saravaka, the disciples' vehicle, is that of the insight into no self, anatman, and the primary wisdom of the Pratyeka Buddhas, the self-realized one, is the insight into the non-duality of subject and object, which is similar to the mind-only school's standpoint. And then the primary wisdom of the Bodhisattva is the insight into the no self of phenomena. So then we read that also at the time of attaining the fruit of self-realized one's state, unlike the disciples, they do not depend upon a spiritual mentor. So the self-realized ones are able to gain the realization without dependence upon the presence of a teacher. So then we read, rather due to the force of their past habituation, they realize the profound ultimate reality by means of the 12 links of dependent origination and attain the fruit of self-enlightenment. So in the scriptures, the Pratyeka Buddhas, the self-realized ones, are particularly associated with a deep understanding of the mechanism and the dynamics of the 12 links of dependent origination, both in terms of forward causation of the first chain in the link leading to the second chain in the link and so on, second link in the chain and so on. And similarly, it also refers to the understanding of the 12 links of dependent origination in the dynamics of how by bringing the end of the latter, one can bring about the end of the former link in the chain. So this knowledge of the 12 links of dependent origination with context, in the context of self-realized one, refers to understanding its both causal dynamics and also the dynamics of how they are brought to an end. And so here, the ultimate reality refers to the self-realized one's understanding of the absence of a duality between subject and object. So we read that they realize the profound ultimate reality, dharmata, by means of the 12 links of dependent origination and attain the fruit of self-enlightenment.
다른에 자주선배 태고를 주고는 이제 따와니 근데 뭐보다 넘버잖아요. 최상제 전 담을 내신매 봐 인라. 구조도는 규모도 수수 천이 만져버려 여대. 자, 다들아. 다 우매배 따와 송규 송규야래. 다 우매배 따와라. 낭세기. 나 로비 루루비 전자 직주 임발라. 다 타녀도 랑세 셰지셰게 변호를 링대제다. 아니, 가수를 보게, 로맨 생일상보다. 아니, 캔시 씌워서다. 그래서 까마를 씌려. 그래서 자리, 탄일을 아주 신시하게. 사마를 못 주워. 수비 아래. 가, 어리, 이래. 단지네, 로맨 루루보다, 젠장. 아니, 로맨 산재장다. 아니, 반대 나와타보다. 시원하다. 그래서 자기, 아니, 추에 삼아송비하래. 아, 나가는 신기, 갈고. 탄여도 있는 랑스세기 미십의 세시. 진저기다, 시담인다, 여배 인두산에, 턴, 추에 삼제, 턴, 담바른 내 랑신매바 인하세야, 다리, 딜루메다 용서래. 랑집을 루스는 신시안이 짜야지, 텐집을 루는 신시안이 짜야지, 배신이 용서래. 네, 군소도니, 규모상도, 딱, 각자 차라. 딱 민자와 여래도 이내 가서 대가네 아니 가서 대정신도 나야 믿어봐 규모다고 아니 군소 친유 소소 만들어 여대시 딱 이게 다와서 손 너나 최선이야 대주고 동아 세야겠다 다와서 손이 말해 딱 다와 뒤체 다음에 왜 다와서 뒤체 드르르비 딱 다와지 아니 특히 좋아도 제외 관해 고민도 자네 파르도 침바 쭉 다음 떡지 파르도 침바다 이시지 파르도 침바다 내가 가래 너는 파르도 침바야나 내가 턱게지 파르도 침바 어제 내게 파르도 침바 두고 가느냐 파르도 침바 와다 시구 뒤내니 뒤 패지 실기 파르도 침바로 떡지 침바 패지 임바이다 내 야구스 정주대 패지 임바이다 어제 내려가다 파르도 침바 쭉 파르도 침바 쭉 파르도신부 쭉 제베 대부 아니 서주 림기 제베 탈 나는 왜 정수도 주문 대바 이노 다 되잖아 아주 샤마타 보는 신기 우마베 러빈 첨부 드즈나 드즈 자리 드즈나리야 아니 예 냐랑기 체지람이 아니 또 예수님이 아니 또 메송게 아 간다 드리기 시험에 넣어 전부 이해하래 다가는 신기 아니 담인일에 차라 시해받아 미시바 아니 탄여도 랑세 시해받아 미시바 다 진정은 진정이 민자와 민자의 차벌 연구하래
Next is the Bodhisattva vehicle. Here we read the following. The view of those who have entered the vehicle of the Bodhisattva is as follows. All phenomena of thoroughly afflicted and enlightened classes are on the ultimate level devoid of intrinsic nature, while on the conventional level they possess their individual characteristics in clearly distinctive manner. So this particular sentence explains the philosophical viewpoint of the middle way school, which represents the Bodhisattva's philosophical standpoint. And historically, among the commentators on Nagarjuna's teaching on emptiness, they emerged broadly two distinct approaches. On the one side are great masters like Bhava Viveka, Haribhadra, and Shantarakshita, who came to Tibet, and Kamala Shila, all of whom, while rejecting the notion of true existence on the ultimate level, they accept some notion of svabhava or self-nature on the conventional level. On the other side are again commentators on Nagarjuna, such as Buddha Palita, Chandrakirti, and Shantideva, who rejected the notion of self-nature. So they reject, His Holiness was disputing my use of the word self-nature to translate for svabhava, because you know, by rejecting svabhava, or you know, it is sometimes translated as intrinsic being or self-nature or own being, or it's translated differently by different translators, of course. So by rejecting self-nature or svabhava, as His Holiness points out, they are not rejecting individual characteristics of phenomena. For example, solidity is the defining characteristic of earth element. So the point is that one is not rejecting any notion of nature, so individual phenomena having their own defining nature, such as solidity is the defining nature of earth element, and heat is the defining characteristics of fire, and so on. These kind of defining natures are not being rejected. What is being rejected is some kind of intrinsic being, kind of a svabhava. So on the other side are great masters like Buddha Palita, Chandrakirti, and Shantideva, who not only reject the notion of a true existence on the ultimate level, but also reject the notion of svabhava, this intrinsic being or self-nature or own being, even on the conventional level. So what we see here is that historically there emerged different interpretations of Nagarjuna's teachings on on the teaching on emptiness. There are those who would, and so the differences lie in the either acceptance or rejection of the notion of svabhava, the self-nature, on the conventional level. The differences of whether or not even the Shravakas, the disciples and the self-realized ones, it is necessary to realize the emptiness of phenomena in order to gain liberation. Some maintains yes, some maintains no. And similarly, there is a difference of opinion on whether or not between the selflessness of person and the selflessness of phenomena, there is a difference of subtlety. So, of course, on these details, they emerged, broadly speaking, two distinct approaches to understanding Nagarjuna's teaching on emptiness. And then the text then goes on to read that the Bodhisattvas aspire to seek the unexcelled enlightenment, which is the culmination of traversing the 10 levels and the fruit of practicing the 6 perfections one by one. So what is being pointed out here is that in terms of the path, Bodhisattvas traverse through the 10 Bodhisattva bhumis, or the levels or grounds, by means of practicing the 10 perfections. So when we speak of 10 perfections, in addition to the 6, the final, the 6th, has further divisions of within that. So in addition to the 6th, which is the perfection of wisdom, then there is the perfection of power, a perfection of skillful means, perfection of skillful means, power, and aspiration, and transcendent wisdom. So it is on the basis of practicing these 10 perfections, the Bodhisattvas finally aspire to attain the unexcelled enlightenment by traversing the 10 Bodhisattva bhumis one by one.
Tajanima, Taji Tewala and Nabasum days, Chaya Ju Yi Tewada, Nigi Ju Yi Tewada, Chi Chawada, Nanga Nanjo, Chaya Ju Yi Tewada, Nigi Ju Yi Tewada, Nanjo Yi Tewa, Susanada, Nanjo Yi Tuda, Nanjo Lana with Juni Woody, Chigu Domne. 난조기 다 데뷔 용다시도 나버 준비 남 다다네 너가 이지시네 다 고미야지 숨기야래 다 들어야 아니 사기야 된다래 다 사기로 이제 건드렸으려나 아니 돈유도 무슨을 하르샤 와서야 이제 고기야래 자 이제 건드렸으려나 전담으로 깨가 매발래 전 구조도 사이 수지 구루 공신 전에 쓰나디 다 전담으로 깨가 매발 쓰자디 Rangshinji Tongpa Yinibar Vata Rangshinji Tongpa Yinibar Chirade Yinibar Te Tsamji Michobar Rangshin Mabar Mabar Shevetan Rangshin Mabar Yinibar Te Yinibar Shevetan Chene Dendendebe Rangshin Madaji Tawa Tini Eni Thagu Nabalaya Shawaji Takuyari Tatinde Yinibar Yindu Tantambar Kenga Mabar Tanga Pumni Sheva Les Dendendebe Da Rangshin Mabar Shebe, Lokora, any Nansa, any Hai Suji Guru Gomshins. Gui Sunyendang, Tu Changzendang, Dejudang, Sangradang, Tuzidang, Sada, Dugala Soba, Zor Yajeda, Dujin Soba, Tulin Juba, O Sanyadi, and Chi Chawa, Zeta Sangra Soba, Zedinella Zor Dene, any Dunyuva's Mutari Shebe, Nanjo Gomia, Delicity is one in body.
So the next we read in the text, the indestructible vehicle of Vajrayana has 3 classes. One, the vehicle of Kriya Tantra, that's the action Tantra. Then two, the vehicle of Ubaya Tantra, that is both external activities and internal yoga. And three, the vehicle of Yoga Tantra. So here, Yoga Tantra is a generic term that is used for both yoga and highest yoga tantra. So then we read the explanation of the first tantra. The view of those who have entered Kriya Tantra is as follows. Whilst there are no origination and cessation on the ultimate level, on the conventional level, one visualizes oneself in the form of a deity and cultivates the deity's image. So what this points out is that one of the, from in general, one of the defining characteristics of the Vajrayana path is the practice of deity yoga. And so the text here explains what is the heart of the deity yoga practice. And the heart of the deity yoga practice is to generate oneself into the deity on the basis of generating a deep insight into the ultimate nature of oneself. So here, so the text reads that there are no origination and cessation on the ultimate level. So of course, in reality, there are no origination and cessation on the ultimate level. But what is being pointed out here is that one must cultivate the recognition of that, an awareness of that, and cognition of that truth. And then the very mind that has understood that, that has gained that realization, that mind itself then arises as in the form of a deity. So we read that on the conventional level, one visualizes oneself in the form of a deity and cultivates the deity's image, which is the body, and the attributes, which symbolizes the mind, and the hand implements, and the mantra repetitions, which symbolizes the speech, on the basis of the power of coming together of the necessary ritual articles and other conditions. So the key characteristics of the Kriya Tantra is the emphasis on the need for of the external activities and the ritual conditions and so on as an aid for bringing about the realization of the inner deity yoga state.
Tadi Dorji Tekwa Sundadi Dorji Sidat Dadi Michibi Bari Kang Michibi Reslana Tavshi Yer Michibi. That Tavshi Yer Michibi Sadi Krizis Gorslana Jirini Tabachimu Ji Lulia Da Kasuri. 단다 외세 찍니? 아니, 수구도 추구, 다 가서 뚫을 샤들 찍. 뚫을 그게, 가서 올 그게. 다 뚫을 그게 뚫을 찍, 쇼미로. 어, 들으시게 다 해요. 어, 다 쏘고 들으시고 공급을 누려야지. 여러 인류산에, 대, 찍, 그게, 시띵이야로, 잘해야. 아니, 뚫을 워메겁네. 짱, 아니, 가서 우리 그게, 동료도 그 송놈 사샤와 면에 들으려고 다 서구로 깨져 아니 깨져 서구 등에 면에 야 동료 보면 와 들으려라 아니 탑시 다 탑시 이게 몇십을 배지 가서 그래 다만시 탑도 시 서구 자샤와를 미국에 차네 탑다 아니 동료를 예반 전배 차네 실업세네 숭야지 다 탑시 모직 독세체야, 마도, 오직도 여다 와라고, 배신 맨로. 자, 다, 쏘, 탑시기에 몇십어디, 네, 내서 라미금의 송대하기, 구투 순주, 로맥금의 순주 송대하, 다, 디콘, 루기하리, 쏘, 디인사리.
So, here we are talking about the various levels of the path of the Vajrayana vehicle. So here it is important to understand what is meant by Vajrayana, the indestructible or indivisible vehicle. So Vajra here has the connotation of indivisibility. So in that sense we are talking about a vehicle that has indivisibility as its central characteristic. So what is the indivisibility we are speaking of here? So the indivisibility here refers to the indivisibility of the method aspect of the path and the wisdom aspect of the path. So it is the indivisibility of the two aspects of the path, method and wisdom, which is the essence of the Vajrayana path. However, insofar as the need for the union of method and wisdom is concerned, and this is also emphasized in the perfection vehicle, the sutra vehicle as well. For example, we find in Nagarjuna's text, there is an aspiration at the conclusion of a text where he draws parallel or correlations between the two accumulations, the accumulation of wisdom and accumulation of merits, as corresponding to the two Buddhakayas, the form body of the Buddha and the truth body of the Buddha. And it is by relying upon a path which has the two accumulations of merit and wisdom, one aspires to attain the Buddhahood, which is the embodiment of the two Buddhakayas, the two Buddha bodies of form and reality. Similarly, Chandrakirti explains in his supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamaka Avatara, where he compares the two aspects of the path, the method and wisdom, as the two wings of a bird that cruises across the ocean to reach the shore of enlightenment. So again, there is an emphasis on the need for the union of the method and wisdom aspect of the path. However, in the context of the non-Vajrayana path, the sutra approach, and the union of the two is really understood in terms of one complementing the other. So the method aspect of the path and the wisdom aspect of the path, they are seen as two independent streams of realization. So the method is primarily characterized by the practice of the five perfections, such as generosity and cultivation of awakening mind and so on, whereas the wisdom aspect of the path is primarily characterized by the wisdom of emptiness. And it is the complementarity of these two aspects of the path that one develops the union of method and wisdom. However, in the Vajrayana context, the union of the two is really understood at a much more profound level, where the union is not a matter of two factors, one complementing the other, but rather it is a union in the form of indivisibility. So in other words, both method aspect of the path and wisdom aspect of the path has to be present within a single event of a mental state. So how is that achieved in the Vajrayana path is
reflected even in the early stages of the practice. For example, in the deity yoga meditation, the core of the deity yoga practice is to first generate understanding of emptiness, and this wisdom of emptiness is then imagined as arising, taking the form of a deity. So where within the single cognitive event, mental event, there is the realization of emptiness, and also there is the visualization of oneself as a deity present in a single event of the mind. So they are inseparable. But ultimately, the true meaning of the indivisibility of the method and wisdom arises really at the highest yoga tantra level, where within a single instance of the clear light state of mind, both the factor for the attainment of Buddha's rupakaya, the form body, and the factors for the attainment of Buddha's dharmakaya, the reality body, both of them are present within a single instance of the experience of clear light. So this is the ultimate meaning of the indivisibility of method and wisdom. However, even on the lower classes of tantra, such as Kriya Tantra, the action tantra, the deity yoga meditation really conveys this indivisibility of the method and aspect, be it on the level of imagination, because it's really at the level of visualization, but still within a single visualization, both the aspect of the path are present.
Oh yeah. That's the end of the driven on the air. That's the end of the issue. To get the Shiagi. Turn Tambra, Yanga, never lay. Kuzu do Sai Suji Kuru Komshin, Sunatella, Silvana, and the Sashin, so on the Shikana Tonganiro, Telsam, your own use. Kana Tonimiro, Telsam, your own use, so on the Shingi. 人心当不应上, 下去才不来, 人心当不应的, 那我那时候是下去, 也不来, 这真正应的, 全他们健康没法应不应的, 孤独都差异, 诶呢, 熟下压约的这个, 快要解读啊, 因为特别学问的这些男的, 人心当不应不上就没效果, 人心当不应不是写的团呢, 人认为写的落地, 因为透过公司的案例,
这边拿了这就松下这是单数据团里是团他们确他们是健康没吧他这我们细数两把的下的但两把的下数是哪地方呢光过了吧两把的下的天安来孤独都还熟成的北京的人心人数他都孤独光心前面我的刚才呢马上做的 지 땅대장의 인생이 너무너무 먼 거야 어디 처음 너무 먼 거야 어디 이내 지 사체다 대 인산배 마제다 사체다 대 산나 여바선 좀 미쳐봐 당고 마제 용서디 시디 이물로 타고 지지 풍금 시안네 대는 때네 딱에 등이 이제 나오냐배 마제 찍어버려 마도 에 당아서 지 탐해외 실도 저기 풍부로 떼는 당시에 나한테 방 가서 우리 그게 나오냐면 뭐 슈퍼 철 당시에 소지 자원이는 말봐 이물을 샤외 명물을 다배 전도 땜으로 샤져 버지 대 이물을 야오지 샤네 산나 야오 소소나 에 르균루도 뭐 투윤도 애니 나스야 식주 투윤도 이물을 샤대베 풍금지시 대로 떼네 딱배 나지고리야 샤이무도가. 사실 내인데 이물이야 샤대베 풍금지시 싸워지가 이물을 샤대베 도와다 디냐라. 그 떼로 걸어 고도가. 나한테 떼세 떼로 딱들어봐. 딱지 다음에 풍금지시 쓰대야지. 뭐 몰라 다과도 차요 말이지. 이네 명물이야. 다 다과를 떠야 해. 지금 근데 싸워를 쓰려나? 냐라. 마다고의 풍금 지시, 되게 안 돼. 년령기 풍부 되게 돈을 쉬우면 안 돼. 사실 년령기 풍부, 내년기 샹왕자 쓰대야 돼. 빼대, 아, 런식 똥발, 아, 가수 그랬다. 디 땡래야 똥니 관네 똥니 관베 아니 냥올이야 가서 냥우정도 마세베 아니 나올래 마다고 품어지지도 봐 나와지 뒤 다 나와지 뒤니 냥올 정신 똥베 가서 그렇게 똥거를 찍 차야 여버래 디터로 나올래 품어지지도 마다고 품어지지도 봐 뒤체 진짜게 나와 똥살 샤야 다 군조도 사이 수지 꾸르 검신 자 때는 내가 전부도 와 안 참으러 지금 안 참으러 우리 지금 초근 된다고 지금 멍구 여래지 이내 똥이 꽈려야 사람 더 나스게 미시고 아주 연대기도 와 자 때는 이제 인도 대기인의 공도 시범 되지 않네 상한 냠는 생일지이나 똥이 따와라 냠은 여버지 내버도 보고 여하는 마도 다 상하고 최 내도 캐워지 쟁에 얘는 똥이 따와 내가 터내 버려 다 똥이 따와 달래야 나게 미 자가게 다 가다 지금 내셔버 천천히 좀 나래야 섬섬에 따와 쟁에 여버래 우먹에 따와 쟁에 여버래 가다 웃음 걸은 그 따와의 냠은 여버지게 나게 초건 돼야지다. 초건 내도 켜진 그런 말도 무슨 그런 그 따위 양념 매등했지 생각하고 그러자. 양념을 매웠다. 가사 그 땀이 라고 떡에 따와 연에 뒤 팽겨 말해. 최지 땀이 차라 그런 것이 떡으로 연에. 나 최지는 차라 수월을 했다. 무슨 그런 것이다. 최지 땀이 따와지 요구로 연에. 전전대 그 따와 뒤 아니 가답에 시리고 있는 걸로 기하지 영원해야 저주 없으면 좀 뭐 좀 하여 말봐. 아, 깨워서 중가 네부티에 시대에 남샤 저부터 지기 맞아 사용으로 와. 어 지르르 보네. 그 타녀도 매력의 시기야 말에. 콜로로 샤원은 신 전진의 위험이 있잖니. 아 전진의 매바 파 쳐버 지기. 로로 샤이 르자네. 아니 에 깽가 매바 타제 우메 시디 아니 로로야 샤이 원이 바래. 로로 샤와 탈라 냠버 샤디 대앙래 아니 그 수 공부기 아니 석유 나바디스 아니 영어로 샤워체 텐자테 텐션이 텔라 텐베 나사야지 몰라 샤워체 아니 석유 나자도 사나디 리송 다 드르르비 아니 석유를 민네 라야 아니 러시는 동방 내인 그 사네 아니 미국 자세와 사회 코로를 민네 남아 러시는 거 내봐 사야지 종이 말이야 아니 사세님이 사야지 종이 말이야
This reference to the absence of origination and cessation on the ultimate level, as
I pointed out earlier, really implies the need for not just it being the fact, but also the need for actually cultivating that understanding within oneself as the basis for the deity yoga meditation. Because generally speaking, as it is stated in Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom of the middle way, where he states that in a system where emptiness is possible, everything is possible. In a system where, or in a standpoint where emptiness is not possible, no functions is possible. So from that point of view, generally speaking, if one's standpoint embraces the understanding of emptiness, within that standpoint, all functions of everyday world, of cause and effect and so on, will be tenable. So that understanding is there. But here, in this context, the understanding of how one arises on the conventional level as a deity, although on the ultimate level there is no cessation and origination. And the meaning here is a deeper one, and which is explicitly brought out in Kongtrul's commentary of this particular section, where he says that while abiding in mentally on equipoise, one's mind equipoised on the absence of origination and cessation on the ultimate level. So this reference to, you know, one's mind being equipoised refers to the need for a deep understanding of the emptiness of origination and cessation on the ultimate level. And this, I think, is an important point, because normally there are quite a number of people who perceive themselves as practitioners of Vajrayana, Tantrayana. We do sadhana practices, we have mantra recitations, and we also do some form of visualization of oneself as a deity. But so it is important to understand what exactly is the core of that deity yoga meditation. What is supposed to happen when you generate yourself as a deity? Because in the course of deity yoga meditation, not only must one visualize oneself as a deity, but also one must cultivate the identification of oneself as a deity. So in addition to visualizing oneself as a deity, there is also the need for cultivating the identity of a deity. So here, there is a form of identification that takes place. So if there is no understanding of emptiness as the basis of that meditation, then what could be happening is a further reinforcement of a sense of clinging to I, the notion of I, of our ordinary sense of selfhood, which is really grounded upon our ordinary bodily existence, composed of, you know, flesh, bones, and so on. However, what is required in the Vajrayana deity yoga meditation is not only a clear perception of oneself as a deity, a visualization, but also an identification with the deity on the basis of a pure aggregate, a purified aggregate. So here, what is required is not only the dissolution of the grasping to inherent existence of our own ourselves, but also a dissolution on the level of appearance of our own perception of ourselves as ordinary person, composed bodily existence, composed of flesh, bones, and so on. Therefore, one goes through the process of dissolution into emptiness, and therefore, Kongtrul writes in the commentary that from within that state, devoid of origination and cessation on the ultimate level, on the conventional level, one arises as a deity. So the point being made here is that, you know, not only on the level of apprehension one needs to reject or negate the inherent existence of oneself, but also on the level of perception as well, one must dissolve the perception of oneself as an ordinary person. And from within that state of emptiness, one then assumes the form of a deity. So it is that realization of emptiness of oneself that arises, that assumes the form of a deity. And when that happens, then there is a real union. And then otherwise, what happens is that once, you know, no matter how many times one may recite the mantra, how many times one may visualize oneself as a deity, none of them will really become truly Vajrayana practice, because the core element of the practice of deity yoga is missing. No matter how, whether one may have done 3-year retreats, or whether one may have repeated the mantra of a particular deity so many times and so on, none of them will really become a truly Vajrayana practice. So the point being made here is that, as explained before, in, you know, as a foundation for the practice of Vajrayana, in order for a Vajrayana to engage in a successful practice of Vajrayana, it is indispensable to have at least some form of experience of the understanding of emptiness. Without the understanding of emptiness, there is simply no basis for the cultivation of the deity yoga practice. So when we speak of the understanding of emptiness here, it could be according to the Chitta Mantra, the mind-only school, or according to the middle way school. Historically in India, there have been yogis of followers of both the Chitta Mantra school, the mind-only school, or the middle way school, who have been great Vajrayana realized masters. So an understanding of the ultimate nature of reality, either according to the Chitta Mantra, the mind only, or of the middle way, is indispensable as a foundation for a successful deity yoga meditation. So, and in order for the understanding of emptiness to become an effective antidote to overcoming the subtle obstructions to knowledge, which is the primary obstacle to the attainment of full enlightenment, it is indispensable that that realization of emptiness is complemented with the factor of the bodhicitta, the awakening mind. So the point being made, I'm making, is that in order for one to engage successfully in the Vajrayana practice, it is indispensable to have the realization of the sutra system of the path, particularly the realization of emptiness and bodhicitta. For a follower of the purely the perfection vehicle, the sutra system of the path, there is no need for any realization of the Vajrayana path. But for the practitioners of Vajrayana, it is indispensable to have the realization of emptiness and bodhicitta, the awakening mind, as presented in the perfection vehicle. So if one's practice of the Vajrayana path, the deity yoga meditation, is really grounded upon a deep understanding of emptiness as presented in the sutra vehicle, and complemented with the bodhicitta, the practice of awakening mind, and then that very understanding of the understanding of the emptiness is then on the level of imagination assumes the form of whatever particular deity one may be practicing or emphasizing, and then once you have a clear visualization of the deity, and then one needs to reflect upon the emptiness of that deity. So when you have that kind of a combination of a clear visualization of deity on the basis of understanding of emptiness, and then once again reflect upon the emptiness of that deity, then truly in one's practice there will be the union of what is called the profound aspect of the path and the luminosity or the clarity aspect of the path as well.
Changju 동니 공부하다 찍어야 이네 남의 동니디 마다고 품고 지지기 동니도 좋아 마다고 최신기 최신 춘이제 침을디 명월라 다고 최신기 춘이제 좋아
So in terms of sequence of the path or practice, when we speak of one's realization of emptiness being complemented by bodhicitta, the awakening mind, it is not the case that when you actually have the experience of emptiness, the bodhicitta should be consciously present at that moment. Because when you actually have the experience of emptiness, at that point, in terms of the content of your thought or your mental state, there will be a mere negation, a simple negation of the intrinsic existence. So what is required is initially to cultivate the bodhicitta, the awakening mind. And once your experience of bodhicitta, the awakening mind becomes very strong and intense, and then at that point you should reflect upon the ultimate nature of that individual, this I, who is aspiring for the attainment of Buddhahood for the benefit of all being, or on the nature of the sentient being for whose benefit you wish to attain enlightenment, or the nature of enlightenment itself. So you subject these, and ultimately, or eventually, one's own self to critical analysis and examine whether or not and they possess inherent existence. And once you arrive at the realization that the self too is devoid of intrinsic existence, and at that point you dwell your mind on that single-pointedly on that conclusion that you have arrived at, where you have totally negated any possibility of intrinsic existence of one's own self. And so then that state of mind, which is the realization of emptiness of one's own self, is then on the level of imagination as transforming into a deity, the form of a deity, whatever deity you may be visualizing. And then once you have a clear visualization of the deity, you then once again reflect upon the emptiness of that deity. So what you see here in this process is the two stages or two instances of meditational emptiness. So at the initial stage, you meditate on the emptiness of yourself, your own existence. At the culmination, you meditate upon the emptiness of the deity. So insofar as both of these are realization of emptiness, they are equal. But the difference is, in the former case, the object of the meditation of emptiness is a contaminated object, which is the unenlightened existence of your own self, whereas in the latter case, and the object of the meditation on emptiness is an enlightened form, albeit on the level of imagination, but it is the form of the deity. So there is a difference between these two types of on the level of imagination, at least on the level of imagination. So although both of these are meditations on emptiness, there is a difference in terms of the object upon which the meditation on emptiness takes place. So we will stop here.
Kone gondo gawara jo, jambe bhagyo jita jemba lo, gondo sambo ten, dejen de teta kundi se do to, yawan de da tamse ro do mo, te sun shebe jawa tamse ki, mo wa tana so do, tagi kere zawan de ge ja sambo se se ro do mo ye, donan gombo chen re se wange, se se je ve se, ka se se yo go se se ma lo, le sa ten de nyo do se ho se, nan do se nye se me se te se, sho do tu shi tu da, 간절로 믿는 데다 자기 때문에 명은 게임이 뇽